For public hearings.
You got it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I will yes. We're back in regular session for public hearing. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. At this time, I'll read the rules of procedure for county council zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County, in its zoning land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, source of income, sex, creed, marital status, age, gender, identity, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting your application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the P&Z Commission has not issued its recommendation report at the time of county council hearing, council will defer action on the application. In those cases, the county council shall accept and consider written comments only from the public on the P&Z Commission's recommendation to the County Council for a period of 5 calendar days following the P&Z Commission's issuance of its recommendations. This does not preclude the County Council from requesting additional information as otherwise permitted. Mr. President, the first hearing today is conditional use number 2156, filed on behalf of Christine and Joseph R. Hudson. And before we start, I do want, just for full disclosure, I've represented Christine and Joseph Hudson in the past. However, I do not have a vote on this, but I feel I'd be able to give any impartial advice if council desires. And Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for wellness classes, including yoga, massage, meditation, acupuncture, and lectures, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 3.33 acres, more or less. The conditional use was filed on behalf, is lying on the northwest side of Coastal Highway Route 1, approximately 0.28 miles south of Hudson Road. The tax parcel is District 235, Map 16, Parcels 75 and 77. The 911 address is 14904 Coastal Highway, Milton. Staff and the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on May 9th. At that time, a number of items were included as part of the record. At that time, they deferred for further consideration. At their May 23rd meeting, they did recommend approval for reasons 1 through 5 and conditions 6A and B. Thank you.
Okay, any questions from council? If not, Ms. Hudson, would you like to come forward, please, and explain your application, what you plan to do?
My name is Christine Hudson. I live in Milton, Delaware. Many years ago, my husband bought this church, Lewis Church of Christ, and really didn't know what to do with it. It remained a church the whole time. There's always been some sort of church service there. We've had Unity Church, we've had the Advent Christian, and right now we have Soul Saving Station. But there are a lot of other rooms in the building that could be used. And I'm a yoga instructor, and I thought, well, wow, I could teach yoga here. And from there, I thought it'd be nice to be able to have some seminars, too, some lectures on a very small scale, and meditation classes. And I would bring other presenters. I wouldn't be doing all of it myself, but I would be teaching the yoga. So that is what I'm requesting, to be allowed to do that. I didn't know I wasn't in compliance, but now I'm trying to make it right.
Okay. There's existing parking, existing entranceway there?
Yes. Yeah, the highway department already did a study and approved it. Yeah, there's a pretty large parking lot because there was a church there, and the church moved down the road further, the crossing, and they actually continued to use the building for a long time as daycare. And I was just trying to figure out something to do with the church that would be building, that would be useful and something helpful. And yoga just came to mind because I'm an instructor, and I was teaching at two other studios at the time.
This is the church building that the pumpkin chuckers used to aim at?
Yes.
And you would anticipate all your classes and activities taking place inside?
Yes. Okay. Might want to do something outside. I would hate to be excluded from me being allowed to go outside. I've actually, in the past, donated the building to the radio operators, the ham radio operators, and they've had some. I've donated it, picnics up there. I know I would like to be able to be outside.
The condition A from the Planning and Zoning Commission does state all of the applicant's uses shall occur within the existing structures or outdoors.
Right,
covers everything.
Yes.
Where does that exclude?
I know, that's what I was kind of wondering.
would that be confined to yoga stuff outdoors?
I'm just trying to gear it towards wellness. Yes, it would just be yoga or meditation, maybe outside, sitting outside, right, looking at a beautiful full moon like we have right now.
Does that condition relate just to the condition that she's asking for? The outside.
I mean, the condition just says that the uses, which there were, again, it's wellness classes, yeah, including the yoga, the massage, meditation, acupuncture, and lectures, could be inside or outside.
Right, but those are the things that can be inside or outside.
Correct.
Please. Yes, yes. Oh. It's limited to those.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And why do we have a blue line again, as well as the yellow?
That's the SI.
There are two different parcels.
Two pieces of property, two parcels.
But they're associated with each other.
Purpose. Right. Okay.
So the conditional use covers both parcels.
Originally, we had donated the land to Lewis Church of Christ, and then later on, we added that piece to it. That's why there's two.
Okay. Any other questions? Do you have anything else, Mrs. Hudson?
No, I don't. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank and you. Ladies.
Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone in favor? Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? You can sit down.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close the public hearing.
We'll close public hearing. It's okay with council, close public record. Ask Mr. Morbid a short title.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for wellness classes, including yoga, massage, meditation, acupuncture, and lectures, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 3.33 acres more or less, as together with the reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 5, with conditions 6A and B.
Pleasure, counsel.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take a vote, Mr. Burton.
My motion would be in favor of the, to approve conditional use 2156 for the reasons given by planning and zoning.
Mr. Hudson.
I vote yes to approve it.
Mr. Riley.
I vote yes to approve for the reasons and conditions offered by planning and zoning.
Mr. Wilson.
I make a motion we accept it, according to what P&amp;Z says.
I also agree with planning and zoning's reasons and their conditions. I'll vote yes, motion carried. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. And the next hearing, Mr. President, is change of zone 1876 on behalf of Deborah Reed. There is also going, the applicant has requested, and at planning and zoning, they combined the public hearing portion also with conditional use number 2169, so the evidence would be given one time. Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. The change of zone is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MR medium-density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 6.113 acres more or less, lying on the north side of Savannah Road, approximately 152 feet northeast of Parker Run. The tax parcel is District 335, map 12.06, parcel 1. The 911 address is 1525 Savannah Road, Lewis. Staff note that the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on May 9th of this year. At that time, a number of items were submitted into the record, including an exhibit booklet, comments from different agencies, and comments from the public. At that time, they deferred for further consideration. At their May 23rd meeting, they did recommend approval of the change of zone for reasons 1 through 8. And the conditional use is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium-density residential district for multifamily to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 6.113 acre more or less, land lying on the north side of Savannah Road, approximately 152 feet northeast of Parker Run. Tax parcel is District 335, map 12.6, parcel 1. The 911 address is 1525 Savannah Road, Lewis. Again, the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on May 9th. At that time, a site plan and other items were submitted into the record, similar to the change of zone application. They deferred for further consideration. At their May 23rd meeting, they did recommend approval of the conditional use for reasons 1 through 8 and conditions 9A through P. Thank you.
Okay, any questions from council?
One question. I know we all received a electronic letter from Art Sullivan. Is that part of our record now?
That will be today. I received that late this morning. So there's an agreement that was submitted that had four conditions regarding that, and I believe the applicant is going to be discussing that as well.
That's fine.
Okay. If there are no other questions, Mr. Fuquay.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm the attorney representing Mr. and Mrs. Reed. And as stated, this is actually two applications, and we'll be presenting one presentation. Mr. and Mrs. Reed are here, and Ring Lardner from Davis Bone and Friedel is also present. As was stated, it was an exhibit book submitted that contains pertinent information. It also includes the environmental assessment and public facilities report. We did a section 99C, which is actually required for subdivisions, but it provides relevant information. And again, these applications are related, so we're doing them at the same time. The one is to rezone the property to MR, and the second is for conditional use for 24 single-family detached condominium units. I do apologize for not being as quick as Mrs. Hudson, but I wish I could present something that quickly and have it approved, and I would do it if I could, but I haven't figured that out in all the years. The site itself is, if you can see it in the outline, the yellow, it's an L-shaped parcel of property. It has 160 feet of frontage on Savannah Road, has a depth of 610 feet, and to the rear, it has a rear boundary of 772 feet. The property is basically cleared land. There is an existing older house on the property and three existing old chicken houses on the property. And I can kind of show you how much this area has changed in the past several decades. The house and chicken houses will be removed as part of the development, and I do want to state adequate notice will be given to the neighboring property owners once the demolition is scheduled. As to the surrounding properties, to the south, which would be down, a portion of the property borders Savannah Road, and the other portion in the front there borders the rear of four parcels that front on Savannah Road. The east side borders a parcel that's used as a residence and a chiropractor's office, and next to that is the existing entrance road to a section of the Villages of Five Points residential plan community, and that is the Villages of Five Points East. The north boundary line is adjacent to the Villages of Five Points East, and to the east are two lots in the Covey Creek development and the cul-de-sac of Development Street. There is some zoning history about the site that is not only relevant to your consideration, but it actually is one of the bases for this application. Mr. and Mrs. Reed purchased the property in September of 2018, and back in 2016, there had been a prior contract to another buyer, and that contract was contingent on approval of a conditional use for a therapy and fitness center, and that application was filed by Quail Valley 1525 LLC. It was conditional use number 2074, and I had submitted copies of those of the commission and the council minutes for the record. That conditional use application proposed a fitness center consisting of 67,000 square foot building with a parking lot for 200 parking spaces and hours of operation from 5 a.m. to 11 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturday. The county council held a public hearing on May 23rd, 2017. Obviously, Councilman Hudson and Raleigh were not yet on the council, but I think the other council members will remember that application. There was significant opposition to that proposed use expressed by many of the residential neighbors in the area, and on August 8, 2017, the county council unanimously denied the application. The reasons for denial were articulated by Councilman Burton. They are only referred to in the council minutes, but I listened to the audio of the hearing and Councilman Burton's statements, and I would just summarize those reasons for denial as follows. The large bulk of that proposed building and the size of the parking lot were inconsistent with the area and not compatible with the residential surroundings. The proposed commercial use was out of character with existing business uses nearby. The impact of the proposed use would not be minimal and would be entirely different than existing uses with an adverse impact on existing residential uses. And most importantly, the proposed use was out of character with the surrounding area, which is trending towards small commercial uses and residential use, and that a fitness center should be located in a commercial area. And for those reasons, that conditional use application was denied. So in planning this application and designing this application, the Reeds carefully considered the statements made in denying the fitness center application, and then also considered the land use mandates applicable to applications, basically the 2015 state strategies investment level map, the Sussex County comprehensive plan, and the Sussex County zoning ordinance and district map. Under the state investment map, this site is located in a level 2. It's surrounded by lands in levels 1 and 2. The strategies for state policies and spending documents states that in investment level 2, like investment level 1, the state investments and policies support and encourage a wide range of uses and densities, and investments should encourage departure from typical single-family developments and promote a broader mix and variety of housing types. So that's under the state investment maps. Under the 2008 county comprehensive plan, The site is in the environmentally sensitive development area, which is one of the growth areas. The plan states that a range of housing types should be permitted, including single-family, townhouse, and multifamily units. As you well know, the County Council spent a great deal of time over the past 2 years creating the 2019 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, which was just certified in March. That new plan expresses the county's current vision for land use, and as stated in the plan, it strives to set a foundation for decision-making and provide a roadmap for future decisions. So the 2019 plan is the county's official policy guide for future development-related decisions. And that new plan states, first, as you know, it renamed the environmentally sensitive development area into the coastal area. And under the plan, our site is in the coastal area, which continues to be one of the growth areas of the plan. Second, the plan states that, again, a range of housing types should be permitted, including single-family, townhouse, and multifamily units. And third, the plan states that while the county's base density of 2 units per acre is appropriate throughout the coastal area, medium and higher, 4 to 12 units per acre, can be appropriate in certain locations. And it describes those locations as being medium and higher density could be supported in areas with central water and sewer, near sufficient commercial uses and employment centers, where it is keeping with the character of the area, and where there's adequate level of service along a main road or near a major intersection, and all of those really do apply to this piece of property. Under the zoning ordinance, we're requesting the MR density. The purpose of that is to provide medium density residential in areas that is generally becoming urban in character. And multiple family units are permitted as a conditional use. And then looking at the zoning map, which I guess that is the zoning map. As you can see on the zoning map, the land to the north, which is all zoned yellow, that is part of the Villages of Five Points, or that is the Villages of Five Points East. That is an MR RPC, which is located actually on both sides of Old Orchard Road, and also has a large commercial component at the northwest corner of Old Orchard Road and Savannah Road, which is the Villages of Five Points Shopping Center. To the east, which would be to the right there, that is the Covey Creek development, and that again is also zoned MR. To the south, where the front of our property, obviously, again, as I said, portion of it borders Savannah Road, and then you can see there is an existing lot there, zone B1, neighborhood business. The rest of the site borders, there's 4 lots that are zoned AR1, and then directly across the Savannah Road from our site are 2 lots zoned B1, and then another lot a little further down the road. So that zoning map shows the existing zoning of the area, but it does not represent the actual nature of the uses in the area. And Janelle, if you have that exhibit from the fitness center. Yeah, that one, that's it. This is actually an exhibit that was used in that 2016 conditional use application for the fitness center. So what this application was showing was the nature of the area in terms of conditional uses approved along both sides. And again, a conditional use is not a zoning change, so it doesn't appear as a zoning change. So as shown on this exhibit, and Janelle, can you just show where we are in there? There's the chicken houses right there. So as shown on this exhibit, along Savannah Road, as you can see in the immediate vicinity of the Reed's property, there's actually 3 parcels zoned C1, which are toward the bottom there. There's 3 parcels zoned B1. And there's approximately a dozen parcels that were approved conditional uses of one variety or another. Some of those are in older homes. Some of them are actually in the office complexes. Since that time that was done, there actually have been 3 more conditional uses approved in the area. One was down at the Smith property, which is down at Dove Drive and Savannah Road. One was the Ford property, which is across Savannah Road from our site. And Prashina Wells and Woodland LLC had a conditional use approved for a law office, and that was just in March of this year, and that property actually is right in front of our property, next to that property that's zoned B1. So based on the the actual zoning and the conditional use information, I think there's some several clear conclusions. Number one, the Reed's property, the 6.1 acre parcel, is an example of an infill parcel which is totally surrounded by developed land. The nature of the existing development to the north and east at the rear of the property is residential. The nature of the existing development to the south and west, excuse me one second.
Do you need a bottle of water?
Yeah, one handy. Thank you. Again, the nature of the existing development.
I haven't opened this one.
Thank you.
Sure.
You're going to make it stronger.
A little stronger right now.
Thank you. The nature of the existing development to the south and west along Savannah Road, as I said, is offices and businesses on land zone B1 and conditional uses. And I think it's fair to say that the Reed's land is a transitional parcel that's located between the business uses to the front along Savannah Road and the residential uses to the rear, which are Covey Creek and the villages of Five Points. So as a result, we believe our request for MR rezoning is consistent with the existing MR zoning of the adjacent properties and the conditional use for 24 single-family detached residential condominiums, being the permitted density in the MR zone, is appropriate and compatible with a transitional use of this property, again, consistent with the state investment maps, the county comp plan, the zoning ordinance, and again, the reasoning that was expressed in the prior conditional use for the fitness center. So that's the rationale for this application, and I'll move to the specifics of the site plan. The development will have public water for domestic use and fire protection from Tidewater Utilities, a regulated public water company. The site is located in a county-operated sanitary sewer district. The Sussex County Engineering Department comments confirm that 24 units conform to the Engineering Department system design assumptions of 4 units per acre, and that wastewater capacity is available for the development. Stormwater management facilities will be designed and constructed in accordance with DENRC regulations and subject to review and approval by the Sussex Conservation District. The facilities will utilize best management practices and quality control, and groundwater recharge will be provided by way of landscape bioretention areas that will be providing infiltration. DelDOT indicated in its letter of December 26, 2018, that a traffic study was not warranted and was not required. The site entrance to the development will be designed and constructed in accordance with DelDOT requirements. There are no state or federal non-title wetlands located on the site or in the vicinity of the site, and the property is not located in a flood zone as depicted on the FEMA maps. There are no known federally listed endangered or threatened species on the site, and the State Historic Preservation Office comments indicate that there are no known archaeological or National Register listed eligible properties on the parcel. The property is in the Cape Henlopen School District in close proximity to all schools. The development will be provided fire protection by the nearby Lewis Fire Department, and the site is near shopping at the villages of Five Point Shopping Center and downtown Lewis, and is also near numerous medical offices and the BB Hospital in Lewis. As to the development itself, and Janelle, if you could put on the site plan. There'll be 24 single-family detached residential condominium units, which is the permitted density for MR zoning. The main difference between a single-family detached condo unit and a traditional single-family subdivision is that there are no lot lines. The land surrounding the homes is common area or limited common area, which is maintained by the condo association, which also maintains the drive, the buffers, the stormwater facilities, and the entrance. As I said, the entrance from Savannah Road will be constructed per DelDOT requirements. There will be a section of a shared use path across the frontage, and of course we have minimal frontage there, but we will be constructing the shared use path, which eventually will hopefully run all the way from Lewis to Five Points. There is also a landscaped buffer along the frontage. If you can see from the plan there, as you turn into the development, there is a stormwater retention area located on the western side of the entrance drive, and that results actually in the closest home being about 230 feet back from Savannah Road, and it provides a very attractive landscape buffer and view from the entrance, and that is consistent with the goals of the historic Lewis Byways plan. As you can see, the development drive is L-shaped, corresponding to the shape of the property. There's a second stormwater pond located where the elbow in the L is there, where the road turns east. There will be a 20-foot landscape buffer along the perimeter of the property, which will be designed in accordance with the zoning ordinance requirements. So the 20-foot buffer is surrounding the property perimeter. The landscape buffer along the north boundary, which again is the Villages of Five Points, that borders a common area of the Villages of Five Points. The Villages of Five Points common area is, it's partially landscaped. It has some trees planted in it, basically. And it's approximately 35 feet wide at its closest point between a lot line in the Villages of Five Points and our property line. So as a result, the closest property line in the Villages of Five Points has their 35-foot buffer, and then that will be adjacent to our 20-foot landscape buffer that will be on our property. In addition, Mr. Reed has had discussions with the closest property owners of homes in the Villages of Five Points and has agreed to voluntarily place some additional conditions on the conditional use to address their concerns, and I'll explain that in a moment. Just continuing with the site plan, there's no active recreation because of the size of it. There will be landscaping and benches placed in the area near the internal stormwater pond, and then also down at the cul-de-sac end where people can gather and sit and walk their dogs and things of that nature. The total open space is 3.74 acres or 61% of the site. There will be sidewalk located on the along the western and northern sides of the drive and in front of those five homes, actually 20 to 24 right there, but then the sidewalk would just go back over to the other side. The drive will have curbs and gutters and non-intrusive street lighting. All owners in the development will be members of a condominium association, and that association will have the responsibility for the maintenance of all common areas and common facilities. As the director stated at its meeting on May 23rd, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the MR change of zone and request and the requested conditional use subject to conditions A through P. Before our planning and zoning hearing, Mr. Reed had met with nearby residents and continued discussions with those neighbors who basically were neighbors from the Villages of Five Points after the Planning and Zoning Commission had made its recommendation of approval. Again, at the Planning and Zoning hearing, there was several people spoke with concerns, opposition, whatever you want to call it, and also there was quite a few emails that had been sent to the file. So it appeared that the main people with concern were people from the Villages of Five Points, although I can't say there was nobody else, but that seemed to be the main concern. So as you probably know, Mr. and Mrs. Reed are longtime area residents and business owners. They wanted to make a good faith effort to try to address the neighbors' concerns if possible. And I think to a large extent, we believe that these concerns have been addressed. As a result, the Reeds have agreed to an additional condition, and they are voluntarily requesting that the additional condition be added to the conditions recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission. Now, as you know, by making the term a condition, those terms will be binding on the Reeds and all subsequent owners of the community. And I will hand out copies of that additional condition, which I have marked as revised condition G. And I am suggesting that if you approve this, this revised condition G would be substituted for the Planning and Zoning's Commission, Commission G. So I've, again, marked this as revised Condition G. Now, I'd like to read the revised conditions into the record so there's no confusion, and for the benefit of the people who are here today or people who are watching these proceedings on the county's website, and that condition has four parts. So what the Reeds have agreed to is, one, and I'll quote this, a voluntary building setback line behind the current location of homes 8 through 14 shall be 35 feet from the perimeter of the property line. The voluntary building setback line shall be as shown on the attached plot, and then there's a plot attached that shows that, and that voluntary building setback line shall be applicable to all structures, including porches, sunrooms, decks, and patios. And if you, Janelle, can you go back to the zoning map, I think?
Is there another one?
Yeah, if you can see where our property is there, you can see that the lots in the villages of Five Points kind of have a flare there. It's a bit curved. So that area that's mentioned here is the area that's closest. It's the closest lots in the villages of Five Points that would have that additional building setback. So where that is, the houses and any kind of additions or porches or things like that would all have a 35-foot setback from the property line. And then number two, and again I quote, all homes constructed adjacent to the voluntary building setback line shall be restricted to a maximum height of 28 feet. So again, just this area that I referred to, as you know under the zoning ordinance, whether it's AR or MR, there's a 42-foot height permitted. The Reeds are voluntarily restricting that those buildings would not be any more than 28 feet. Number three, all homes constructed adjacent to the voluntary building setback line shall have no windows on the second floor in the rear elevation overlooking the rear yard that are less than 5 feet above the floor surface at that second floor. Now, just to make that make sense, basically on the second floor, the windows would be high, so light could still come in, but people won't be peering down into the backyards of the people in front of them. And again, that applies to this area that's designated at those closest homes. And then the last one is a little bit wordy. This is what is agreed to. So the applicant or his designee shall assume responsibility for implementation of the landscape buffer plannings on the Villages of Five Points property in compliance with an anticipated modified Village of Five Points POA master landscape plan along the 772-foot common boundary with the Villages of Five Points East and 1525 Savannah Road, and assumes the expenses for maintenance of the plannings for 1 year. After 1 year, the Villages of Five Points POA accepts responsibility for all maintenance of plannings. The existing Villages of Five Points POA master landscape plan will be modified by the Villages of Five Points POA landscape architect and approved for implementation through the Villages of Five Points grounds compliance process. The Villages of Five Points landscape architect and an applicant or his designee will adhere to a budget of no more than $25,000 for the implementation of a modified Villages of Five Points master landscape plan. The additional screening tree density offered will enhance property sight lines for the homeowners of the Villages of Five Points and in the proposed community. Plan implementation shall be made in accordance with the Villages of Five Points POA approved compliance process and within 30 days after the settlement of the sale of the fifth finished home to an end buyer, not a model home. Now, to state that more simply, the Reeds are basically going to be contributing $25,000 to the Villages of Five Points to have the HOA design a enhanced landscape buffer to be planted on that area of common area on the Villages of Five Points property. And they've also agreed that they will maintain that for 1 year. Now, just as background, when the Village of the Five Points RPC was done, we didn't have the buffer requirements. So there were no buffer requirements then. So that's why there's no buffer there. And I think at some point in time, the actual owners of homes along there actually did tree planting themselves. So this is going to create a very nice buffer there. And again, as I mentioned, there's 35 feet of HOA common ground behind their lots. That area, as I said, is partially wooded right now, and this will enhance all of that with a boundary. And that boundary that's going to be created on their property is actually going to abut the 20-foot landscape buffer that's going to be placed on the Reed's property. So it's going to create a superior landscape buffer between the existing homes and the new homes. I also want to submit for the record the letter that Janelle, well, no, this isn't that letter. This is a different letter, but I think it might be, it's a very similar letter. It's dated June 10th. It's signed by the four closest property owners, stating that with the conditions that I just read, assuming I read them correctly, that these four closest property owners, again, quote, remove any objections to the applications as approved by the Planning Commission on May 23rd, 2019, and then that would be with the understanding that the condition that I just read would be stated.
Mr. Fuquay, I was looking at the proposed revised condition G, and I know it's voluntarily agreed upon by the applicant, but you refer to it as voluntary in here, and if it is adopted as a condition by Sussex County Council, it will no longer be voluntary. So would it be appropriate to strike the word voluntary or the V in each of the places that you have?
I think the point I was trying to make is that the council is not requiring us to do this. In other words, it's not being imposed on us by the council. We are asking the council to impose it on us.
But once we pass
it. Once you pass it, it's a condition of approval.
So it would be appropriate for the council to remove the word voluntary.
If you think that would be better, that's fine. We have no objection to that. Jadal had just gotten that today, and I know she had some questions about how we're going to enforce this, but I think what it would amount to is, I think it's safe to say that the folks that live in the villages of Five Points will be the enforcer. That if we don't live up to this, they will certainly let the office know. The enforcement mechanism is if we are found to be in violation of it, the county would stop issuing building permits. And again, if a complaint was made in the future, if all these homes are built, if somebody built a porch or something on their property, again, they'd have to get a building permit and they would be in violation of the conditional use. So, you know, it's potentially a little complicated with a problem, but all problems are complicated. But anyway, we had to deal with our neighbors to try to address their concerns, and that's how we did it. So, so again, with this condition, I think the majority of the concerns of the neighbors have been addressed. It does leave me in a bit of a dilemma because at the planning and zoning, there was a lot of objections raised, and I could go on for about 20 or 25 minutes rebutting those points. However, I don't see any point in me rebutting the opposition if there are no opposition points. So I was going to suggest that rather than take 20 minutes of your time, I would just reserve a couple minutes that are, if any issues are raised that I haven't addressed, that I could have an opportunity to address them.
And I appreciate you being concerned with everyone's time. However, the rules are very specific that there's no rebuttal, and in fact, that's what you would be doing. Can you give us a truncated view of what your potential rebuttal would be?
Well, there was a series of objections raised initially about the process, whether you could even request the conditional use for multifamily. That went into the history of the way the county has treated it for the last 25 years anyway, and numerous single-family condominium developments that are established or under construction today. I've been involved in many of them, so we were refuting that it couldn't be permitted. Part of that was the fact that would, if it was a regular single family subdivision, you use table 1 of the zoning ordinance, whereas multifamily uses table 2, So that was addressed. There was one position was that this area was pretty much just single-family homes and businesses in converted homes. And I went over the tax map and showed things in the area that consisted of not just converted homes, but large medical office complexes, one with three buildings. And then as you went around the road on Old Landing Road, Old Orchard Road, again, there was a shopping center, there's more medical offices. And then the RPC itself, and across from the villages of Five Points East on the other side of Old Orchard Road, are actually three large multifamily condominium buildings. But I'm not trying to create a problem.
Right.
I think we've addressed all concerns. I'll know better in a minute. I think my main point isn't so much addressing the opposition as it was that with the known history of this, namely that fitness center that was proposed, and with the clear nature of the area, we really thought this was a very good transitional use of the property, consistent with the area, that took you from the businesses along Savannah Road into the residential uses by Covey Creek and the villages of Five Points. It provides, again, housing that's more affordable because it's not single family lots. It meets basically squarely the latest expression of the council in the new land use plan about providing appropriate density at appropriate locations, and we think this is one of those locations. We think the Planning and Zoning Commission's decision, their findings and their conditions are appropriate, and again with the one modification that would be substituting the revised condition G for the Planning and Zoning Commission's G, that's the only change we'd request. And with that, that would conclude my presentation, unless you have any questions.
Okay. Are there any questions from council? Seeing none, and you have no one else to call or?
Can I ask one question?
Sure.
Or do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I got a couple questions. Mr. Reed, I think your conditions are just, I'm really happy. I'm shocked, quite frankly, right? I mean, it's really good. It shows a compromise that it was a concern at the planning and zoning hearing. And it looks like you're addressing them. I'm pretty happy, right? I mean, it's just, I don't know that I've ever seen this before, right? I mean, a 5-foot window? I mean, what are we talking about here, you know? I mean, it's
well, I was nervous. I'm used to having a lot of people behind me. And I was up here with two people behind me, and it made me nervous.
But I do have a couple questions. What are the heights of the other buildings?
Well, they're not specifically designed yet, but what would you?
They're just going to be normal one- and two-story.
He needs to come to the mic.
Identify yourself.
Yeah. Bob Reed.
You know, the architectural work hasn't been done yet. The whole subdivision may all be end up being one-story homes, which, in if that's the case, they'll probably be in the 28 to 30 foot high range. If there are two-story homes, then they'll likely be 32, 34 feet, something like that.
Okay. Thank you. Can you go back to the site plan?
Part of what, you know, you're trying to do with the architectural work is balance, you know, the height with, and, you know, you don't want to flatten the roof pitches to make the houses less attractive.
Right.
And your intent right now isn't that they will be the same. There'd be variety.
Yeah. I mean, my intent is that and as is displayed on the site plan, you know, different sizes and shapes to break it up so it's not so cookie cutter looking.
Good. Thank you. Is the stormwater management pond, is that like placed there because that's the
place you think it's going to end up, or do you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's some of its design from just from the slope of the site, right?
Ring Lardner, Davis, Boner, Fidel. The ponds are designed kind of where the drainage naturally exists.
Okay.
There is some drainage along Savannah Road is done up, but I doubt we can be able to tie into it given elevation. So we're looking to do some infiltration out there. So it's not fully designed, but more likely that's where the two ponds will be located just based on the topography of the site. But is there a chance it could move? There's always a chance, but right now that's where we feel comfortable that those ponds will be located.
Okay, thank you. And Jim, how much open space did you say was here?
Well, it's a 6.1 acre site.
61%.
I thought he said 61.
It's 3.74 acres of open space, which is 61% of the site. 60.
Thank you. That's all the questions I have.
Rob?
I was just wondering if this would conform to superior design standards. Would this be an example of superior design or not?
This would not qualify for the, because this is a conditional use, and it would also potentially be zoned MR, so mm-hmm. this would not utilize
the
superior design, which is for an AR1 cluster subdivision.
Just for an AR1 cluster.
That is just for an
AR1
cluster.
Yeah, that would be
cluster.
A subdivision where people have a designated lot, whereas this is a condominium.
But this counts 61% open space because there are no property lines per se, right? So everything that's not a house is open space.
Open space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? And is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else speaking in favor of this application? Seeing none, is there anyone here today who would speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. Council desires close public record.
We'll close public hearing. Is it okay with council, close public record?
Yes.
Ask Mr. Moore to read the short title, I guess, of the change of zone first.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Change of zone number 1876. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 6.113 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 8.
Pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson.
Either one.
Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Burton.
I move for a positive. My vote is in favor due to planning and zoning's recommendations.
Mr. Hudson?
My vote is yes, based on recommendations from planning and zoning and they offer.
That's the conditional use.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes.
We're good.
Sorry about that.
Mr. Riley?
I would say because they've addressed the concerns of the neighbors and there's no opposition here today and planning and zoning is recommended favorably, I'll vote in favor as well for those reasons.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes on recommendation P&Z.
I also agree with planning and zoning recommendations. I'll vote yes, motion carried. Next, Mr. Moore, conditional use.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for a multifamily to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 6.113 acre, more or less, for the reasons given by planning and zoning, numbered 1 through 8, with conditions 9A through P.
Do you need to reference that G was modified or changed?
There would need to be a motion for someone before it's introduced to the stating that they would like to amend the findings from planning and zoning and substitute the new G with that.
I would like to do that. I would like to make that motion.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson.
Now, before we go forward on that, you heard me indicate when Mr. Fuquay was speaking, what he had passed out said a voluntary building setback. I was going to strike through voluntary, and each place it referred to the BSL, just BSL. Right. Is that what you,
yes,
the intent of your motion?
Yes, and second, yes,
that's correct. Yes.
I just want to make, can I ask a quick question? Since we're just going to call it the building setback line, that this only impacts units 8 through 14, because if you start reading the building restriction line, mm-hmm, I want to make sure that this doesn't impact all the other lots.
Yes, good point, buddy.
So maybe it would be the additional building setback line?
Well, number one does say if you have a building setback line behind the current location of homes, number 8 through 14.
Right, so I just want to make sure that nobody comes back and says, well, then 2 and 3 don't apply to 8 to 14.
I need to explain one thing, because those buildings could move, okay? The numbers could move, so I didn't want to use numbers. That's why there's a plot attached to it that shows where the voluntary building setback is. Yeah. It's that area. I mean, forget those unit numbers.
Well,
it's that specific area. Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, the amendment specifically refers to homes 8 through 14.
Oh, but it goes on to say,
yeah,
as shown on.
Right.
Okay.
Could we just do the it's 340 feet less 135. Could you just?
Yeah, it starts 135 feet from the corner and runs 340
feet. 340 feet. So 340. Instead of doing building lines, do feet.
Or per the attachment?
Yes, per the attachment.
Yeah.
And it does indicate current location of the homes,
yeah,
and that is the current location,
right,
as they could be amended.
Be sure,
right.
The final site plan anyway, so we're better.
What's that?
You'd be on the final site plan, you would know.
Oh, yeah.
What,
yeah,
yeah,
final site plan.
I just want to make sure there's no confusion,
right,
in,
right,
the future.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll just, okay, say per the attachment. And
well, it is per the attachment,
right,
and it's the current homes.
Okay. So do we need to change anything in that motion?
Pardon?
We need a motion.
The motion would be a building setback line with active voluntary or the V's. And it does say the homes, but it's the current location. As he indicated, it doesn't say it will always be 8 through. And it does say per the attached plot.
Yeah,
so I believe that's...
Just remove voluntary.
Yes.
So this motion is to replace the G from planning and zoning with a new G.
That is correct.
That's my motion.
That's your second.
That's my second.
I knew it was. I felt good about that. Any questions on that? This is to vote on the amendment changing G. Okay. Mr. Burton?
My vote is in favor.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
It says all homes constructed can't be over 20 feet. Is that correct?
In that section, that's part
section
of that. Yeah, in that.
So we are voting all homes.
On that, this piece of paper here, that is the amendment to G.
That's what I read. Okay.
Okay, you okay with that?
Sure.
Okay, I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Now then, Mr. Moore, you would read the short title and then as amended?
Yes. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily to be located on certain parts of land lying in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 6.113 acres, more or less, for reasons given by planning and zoning, number 1 through 8, with 9A through P as amended by this council by substituting a new motion number G, or letter G.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Burton.
My vote is in favor for the recommendations from planning and zoning and the amendment that we made. And again, a thank you to the REITs.
Mr. Hudson.
I vote yes based on planning and zoning's recommendation and the amended along with the amended amendment.
Mr. Riley.
I vote yes as amended for planning and zoning's recommendations.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes on recommendation P and Z.
I also agree with planning and zoning recommendations and the amended G. That was a very good thing to do. I'll vote yes, motion carried. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Sure.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Burton, second, Mr. Riley. Any questions? Take a vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Yes, we're now adjourned.